Hi everyone, welcome back to Iron and Film, and today I'm bringing you a review, a 4K UHD review of John Wick Chapter 4. Now obviously the film came out earlier this year in cinemas. I'm kicking myself that I didn't get to go and see it in the cinemas, because even just watching it last night for the first time, I thought this needed to be seen on the bigger screen than I've got in my front room. Aesthetically, absolutely stunning, but I just thought, you know, why did I miss this? I should have at least been to see it on the IMAX. But anyway, we'll get into that. So, if you are unaware, John Wick Chapter 4, neo-noir action thriller film, directed and co-produced by Chad Stahelski, written by Shea Hatton and Michael Finch, the sequel to John Wick Chapter 4, Parabellum, the fourth in the John Wick franchise, starring Keanu Reeves as the title character. And then in this particular film, loads of people in the ensemble cast: Donnie Yen, Bill Skarsgård, Lawrence Fishburne, Hiroki Sanada, Shamira Anderson, Lance Reddick, Rina, I always get her name wrong, I do apologise because I like her music, Rina Sawayama, Scott Adkins, Clancy Brown and Ian McShane. In the film, John Wick sets out to get revenge on the High Table and those who left him for dead. So, what I'm going to try and do, because just if you're like me and you were too busy and you didn't get to go and see John Wick in the cinema, I don't want to spoil it, but before I watched this last night, I thought I need to give myself a 1-3 recap, because I've seen 1-3. I think 1 actually was the only film that I ended up actually seeing of the franchise in the cinema. I caught up with 2 and 3 when I interviewed James King around the time that his book Be More Keanu came out, because I wanted to make sure that I caught up with them. So I did this sort of quick recap, which I found on YouTube. And basically, all you need to know, John Wick's an assassin. His dog gets killed in the first one. He follows people, but then obviously killing people then leads to other people who are annoyed that he's killed those people. The Continental Hotel, you can't really do anything on the Continental grounds, you know. And the High Table are this sort of mythical, not mythical, but sort of invisible authority above everything that's happening. And he basically wants revenge on the High Table in this film in particular. So, it was filmed, it feels like quite a while ago, you know. I think it got a couple of delays because of COVID. It was originally supposed to be released in 2021 because of COVID, but it got moved back. It premiered earlier this year, so March 2023. Film received widespread critical acclaim from critics and has grossed over $432 million worldwide, becoming the highest grossing film in the franchise and so far the 9th highest grossing film of the year. A 5th film is in development, while a spin-off, Ballerina, is set for release June 7th, 2024. And I had a look at Ballerina. Quite interested in that. So, let's get into John Wick. So, straight away, absolutely stunning cinematography and aesthetics. Like, just looking at it, looking at the way that the film looks, the neon lights, the way that it sort of shone through the TV. I put my Govee lights on as well around the TV just to sort of accentuate everything that was happening. And it looked stunning. And it has this really epic scale. And really early on, one of the first things you see is John Wick riding on a horse through a desert shooting people. You know, and then you go to Osaka. You go to, at one point, I want to say it was Berlin towards the end of the film. You sort of hear there and everywhere, and massive grand scale, really fully developed world. And for me, all I could think of was, I need a video game. I need a video game of this world. I need to be an assassin who goes out and does missions, but then goes back to the Continental to rest and recuperate, and nothing can happen in the Continental, and you get given side missions, and you need to go and kill this person, or you get given a marker, and you have to follow a marker through, and you have to do all that kind of stuff. I need that, so I hope someone's developing it somewhere, because if you're not, I'm not clever enough to do it, so someone needs to. Now, as I watch this, because it's long, it's 2 hours and 49 minutes, and there are a lot of films these days, kids, that are going that way. In that, there are a lot of films recently that are going sort of 3 hours long. Oppenheimer's going to be about 3 hours long. When I go and watch Mission Impossible tomorrow, or I may have already done by the time you see this, that's going to have been 3 hours long. And some of them are getting the pace right, in that it's rattling through. Some of them I definitely not, and it feels like a slog. Some of them are somewhere in the middle, and I think John Wick is somewhere in the middle. In that, for the action sequences, it's such a frenetic pace, in that everything goes so fast, and you sort of, you're taken aback by it, you're thrilled by it, you're watching everything that's happening, and then the pace feels like it slows right the way down when we have the talky scenes. And so to sort of give you a little bit of context, obviously with baby in the house and everything, so Ellie's only 4 weeks old at this point. And to sort of give my wife a little bit of a sort of comfort break and stuff, I said, I'll stay downstairs with Ellie. Ruby can go to bed. You get in bed. I'm going to watch John Wick. Ellie will be fine. So fed Ellie, put her in a Moses basket. She was next to me. I watched John Wick. Now, it was when I got back upstairs and she said, oh, how was the film, that really my sort of reviewing thoughts of the film sank into place a little bit. And I said, well, it's just a lot of set piece, talk, 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 set piece, talk, 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 set piece. Specifically, set piece, how can we kill people in this room in the most creative way? Dead. Let's talk for a little bit. How can we kill the most people in a museum in a really creative way? Talk. How can we kill the most people on a staircase in a really creative way? Talk. And there's pros and cons to that, in that as a film studies teacher, especially with the spec that I'm currently teaching and the screenplay element of that, where the students are marked on their ability to write to a genre and conventionally to a genre. Genre pieces have their day. Genre pieces have the place in the market and what everyone comes to expect, in that they are being tied together by convention, and story doesn't really play too much of an issue in that. I feel like John Wick Chapter 4 is a genre piece, in that you're watching this film, yes, because you like the other ones, and I do. I think 2 got a really bad rap. I thought 2 was much better than people were making out to be. I think my favourite up to now is 3, is Parabellum. I really enjoyed 1. I enjoyed this one. I, again, letterboxed-wise, star-wise, I gave this 4 stars. I can't really fault what the film did and what the film achieved to a point. What I can fault is the fact that it felt like we were going from, we had a really good idea for a set piece, so we're going to do that, then we need to get it so that he goes from here to this place, and then we're going to do this one that we thought about the other day, and then we need to get him from here to this one. And then once we got into this one, we can start to think about the end of the film. And not, there wasn't too many story beats in between that that then wrap that up. Now, this might be a me thing. This might be a, well, Adam, what else were you expecting from a John Wick film? You know, it's built on its action sequences. Of course it is. Of course it is, right? But I just think, are we getting to a point now where genre pieces are becoming more popular than story-driven films? And they probably are, you know, in that, you know, this is, you know, fight scene, fight scene, fight scene, fight scene, fight scene. Fast and Furious. I mean, John Wick is definitely better than Fast and Furious, but Fast and Furious is car chase, car chase, car chase, car chase, car chase. You get to October, you get horror films, and it's skirt, 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 skirt. I'm not really bothered about any story in between. And I feel like with John Wick 4, a lot of the heavy lifting for the story-wise had come from the trilogy, had come from what we'd already seen, in the... there were no real sort of additional elements that I was too bothered about. I knew all about the Continental. I knew all about the High Table. I knew all about these different things. Him meeting new people and then those new people getting killed, or one of their family members getting killed, I'm not really fussed, because at the end of the day, it's a John Wick film. And the way that I see it is that most people in the film are expendable. Like when Clancy Brown turns up at the beginning and he checks in at the Continental, I'm just thinking, are you going to be dead by the end of the film, you know? But there is definitely an art to it. There is definitely an art to a film like this, in the stunt work, in the choreography, that sort of long gestating question of, should these people get Oscar representation or recognition? I think they do. I think they should do. I think there should definitely be an award for best stunt team or best, you know, action choreography, whatever it is, because the amount of work that goes into it is second to none. And the amount of times that they must have done those takes, those poor stunt doubles rolling down those staircases and those escalators, like, Christ almighty. I hope you got it in one, but you probably didn't because your back is going to be killing you. There is definitely a build to finality in this film. There's definitely a sort of everything that John does, there's a sort of question of, would you like to die? Do you want to die? There's even a bit where the manager of the Continental is referring to Ned Kelly's gravestone as, according to his gravestone, his last words were "such his life," and as just a sort of, you know, and then they repeat that a little bit throughout the film. So there is an idea of finality here. There's a sort of, we are moving towards the end. Where the end is going to be, we don't know, but eventually we are getting to that point. Now, in my Ant-Man The Wasp Quantumania review, I was talking about the special features and how really it wasn't a well-rounded set, the Ant-Man one. This is huge. There's so much stuff on this. So I'm just going to quickly go through the sort of the special features and what each sort of them detail. Now, what they're trying to do, which I appreciate, is originally when 4K DVDs came out, so I don't have the John Wick one. I was sent a review copy for the John Wick one. So for the Ant-Man one, for argument's sake. So, again, sorry, I'm teaching to suck eggs. So you always get two discs, okay? You get the sort of standard Blu-ray, the standard Blu-ray, which is usually the one behind it, and then the 4K one. Now, traditionally, or to begin with, the 4K one didn't really have features on it. It just had the film, because obviously it's taking up more space on the disc and all that kind of stuff. Slowly but surely, we're getting some of those features being dripped in, but then you're still getting the additional Blu-ray disc. So, Chad and Keanu, through Wick and Thin, do you get it? It's a pun. The director and the star talk about the franchise and the relationship. Train Like a Killer. This is all to do with the train and the rehearsal footage. So again, coming back to the idea of these people needing Oscar recognition, that feature especially is the reason why. Making a Killing, the look and the cinematography of the film, again, visually stunning, aesthetic-wise. Psychology of a Killer, the cast and the crew examine the anti-hero elements. Yeah. The Blind Lead in the Fight, this is all Donnie Yen. This is all about Donnie Yen's character, Kane. Suit Up or Shoot Up, the wardrobe, you know, costume design. Packing a Punch, action sequences. One Killer Shot, funny and great look at how the big action beats sort of got put together. Killing the Speed of Traffic, the fight scene in the traffic. My God, the fight scene in the traffic. Again, like, I love this stuff. I love the ingenuity of it. I love the innovation of it. Like, it reminded me every now and again of The Raid. I thought, you know, surely you've got some inspiration from The Raid here. But it was the story bits that were just lacking for me. But again, maybe I'm looking for too much after a John Wick film. Shot in the Dark. So this idea of like all the night shooting that they had to do. In Honor of the Dead. So the influences and the inspirations for John Wick. Two trailers. I mean, if you want to stick trailers on your special features, you stick trailers on your special features. But I'm watching the film. And then a first look at the Continental. So first look at the series that is upcoming on Peacock. I'm assuming that means that it's going to be either a Sky Atlantic or it possibly even end up on Paramount Plus over here for us, that takes place in the 70s. Now, I'd give that a watch, definitely, because I love the world of the Continental. I love the world that the John Wick films have built to this. So ultimately, and I did want to do this, and he says this now, not having anything ready to sort of do it. So I'm going to do it while I talk in the hope that you don't actually realise, but even though I've just told you. So John Wick is in my top 10. That's sort of what I'm getting at now. So it's in my top 10 so far for 2023. Ant-Man and the Wasp was not. So because it's been a while since I've done one of these reviews and a film that, you know, came out this year and all that kind of stuff, I thought I'd give you a bit of a lowdown of where my top 10 currently stands at this point of the year, because we're around, you know, beginning of July, we're about the halfway point. So let's sort of see where we're up to. So in reverse order, you know, because this is the way that people like to do it, you know, Top of the Pops in one and all that kind of stuff. So my number 10 is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which I thought was fine. Didn't really do anything, you know, absolutely mesmerizing. I didn't think it was as emotional as other people did. I do apologise that I'm not too fussed about an otter. At number 9 is The Whale, which I thought was more effective than it was going to be. Now, obviously, The Whale is technically a 2022 release, but I always go off UK release dates, and we got this in, I want to say, Feb. at that point. Number 8 is John Wick Chapter 4, as I've just mentioned. Number 7 is Sisu. Now, Sisu is a very interesting film in that, for whatever reason, I thought it was going to be a foreign language film, but it's not. Now, my review on Letterboxd, just because I'm so witty, is Jani Saidan, which is the Finnish translation of John Wick, you know, because that's essentially what it's like. That's good fun, though. That's a good fun film. Number 6 is the document, not the documentary, the sort of biopic around the creation of the Jordan shoes. I enjoyed that much more than I thought I would do, especially with it being just, you know, a film about a shoe. Number 5 is Scream 6. Very much enjoyed Scream. I love the Scream franchise. This got some really sniffy reviews, but I really enjoyed it. Number 4, Evil Dead Rise. Again, another good one. Gutted that I didn't catch up with it in cinemas, but I'm quite happy that I watched it now. Number 3, Rye Lane. Very, very funny. Really sort of snappy film as well. Number 2, Love Without Walls. You can go back and see all my coverage of Love Without Walls on the channel. My interview with Niall McNamee, my interview with Karen Newman, the review from the festival and all that kind of stuff. And number 1, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, where I need to go back and watch that again anyway. It's already in my number 1 anyway. It's quite long for a kid's film. I say a kid's film, quote-unquote kid's film. You know, I took Ruby to go and watch it. Quite long. You know, you're talking 2 hours plus. But I did something that I'm wondering how many other people did the same thing as me, in that it got to a point where I thought, oh, it's all gonna kick off here, and then I went, well, it's already been on 2 hours, and then in somewhere in my head a little light bulb went off. It's part one, isn't it? And then the 2B continued happened, and I forgot. So, looking forward to part 2. In the same way, where, like, you know, my whole life is going to be on pause for like a year, where I'm waiting for part 2 of that, and I'm waiting for part 2 of Dead Reckoning, because they're all happening next year. So, yeah. Anywho, that was my review of John Wick Chapter 4, the 4K UHD release. One review coming up within the next week, and that is going to be my review of My Name is Alfred Hitchcock. And yeah, that's the new Mark Cousins film about Hitchcock and Hitchcock's sort of legacy. Yeah, so thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to support, come and follow me on Twitter. Come and follow me on Threads if you really want to, even though there's nothing there yet. Instagram, all that good stuff. Go over to our sponsor Offal Tees. Use the code FARAND. That's FARRAND for 15% off your order. Stay safe, look after each other, and I will see you next time.